Dear brothers, dear sisters, I would like to greet you in the name of our God, Jesus Christ. For me, it's a huge honor to stand in front of you and to share with you the word and the gospel. I would like to thank God, our Lord, for the opportunity to visit your church. This morning, I have already preached. What was the name of the church? That's right. In the morning I preached on grace. And today, again, I would like to talk about it. Why do I want to talk about it? Because grace, it is the doctrine of the Holy Scripture. And each one of you is rethinking and relieving the work of God's grace. The grace is working in our hearts regardless of everything. The God is directing, and God's grace is working as far as rebirth of our hearts. The God is giving us rebirth. And truth, in my life there was a moment where I thought I was paying special interest to spiritual matters. I want to read Holy Scripture. I want to talk to people. And I started going to services by Brother Baptist from Georgia. He came as a missionary to Siberia and he preached the gospel. And I started visiting his assemblies. I listened to his services a lot. Was not understandable to me, but I wanted to talk to those who speak about God, and the change that God made in my heart, I can't even explain how it happened. The God started working in my heart. Did I want that? No. Did I look for it? No. But God in His started looking. But He gave me freedom from sin, and He found salvation that He prepared in Jesus Christ. But my life changed after that. Even though I understand it right now, I did not know all biblical doctrines. But God saves us not because we know the truth. God saves us so that we would learn the truth. And that happened in my life when God called upon me. He changed my heart, but I still did not understand all the biblical doctrines. Time has passed, and God started slowly working upon me and started showing me the grace. First, initially I thought that a person has free will. He could look for God or he might not. But time has passed, and from the Bible I learned that in reality a person does not have free will. Either he is a slave of sin or he is a slave of righteousness. Either he serves the devil or he serves God. And these matters are written in the Scripture, but in the past I was reading them and did not see them. I was reading them and I could not understand them. I did not see the depth of the Scripture. Time passed. I'm reading the same Bible, the same words, and I see them differently. I begin to see the doctrines that were left in the Scripture. But these Scriptures were hidden from my eyes. But God has opened them. He opened my heart. And these doctrines were put into my heart. And now I'm convinced. Why? Because it is the work of God's grace. It is the work of Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Spirit of Truth. When for the first time I heard primitive Baptists, I learned about my friend who lived in Eastern Siberia. He used to say that in the fall, four brothers were supposed to come from the United States, the representatives of the primitive Baptists. I did not know who they were, primitive Baptists, but I knew that they believed in the doctrine of grace. I came back home to Kursk, and I sat behind the computer and started Googling them. Primitive Baptists. I did not speak English. I wanted to learn more about them, and I started using Google Translator. And sometimes it was giving me gibberish, but it didn't stop me. I wanted to learn more and more. And when I was reading the beliefs of the primitive Baptists, when I read the description 1864, the creed, my heart said, yes, this is the truth. And then next year I met with Elder Herb Hartfield. You know this man. It is a crazy man. He is 74 years old. He is still running around the world. He goes to Siberia and Ukraine and back. He cannot stay still. And when for the first time I met him, he came and Sister Ruth came to Kursk in order to conduct seminars for preachers. And I met him for the first time. We had a lot of arguments about what to do with the history of church and primitive Baptists. I love history. And Brother Herb likes it. But we have completely different views. And he said, Brother Sergei, your problem is that you read wrong books. I said, Brother Herb, I have no other books and I don't speak English. He said, I will pray for you. You know, in reality, time has passed 4 years. And I said, Brother Herb, you were right about the history of church. I read the books by Catholics, by Orthodox Christians, by Lutherans and Reformers. And all of them were talking about the true church. And they spoke quite a lot of lies about Baptists. And then George Carroll, the bloody mark. And I understood that history of church is going from Jesus Christ, from the first apostles and to date. Reformers were mistaken. The church of Christ does not require reform because God said, I will create my church. And nobody will be able to do anything about it. The church does not need a reform because the church is the flesh of God and it is alive until He is alive. And brothers and sisters, these things were happening with time. It's just God was working His grace in my heart, in my brain, in my mindset, slowly, step by step, more and more, He was changing my approach to life, to everything. And this is the reason He calls upon us to change us. You know, here in the United States, you have quite a choice of churches. Every street has a church, every block another church, every village has 5 or 6 different churches. And one would think there are a lot of believers. And what I noticed that a lot of times in American churches, services, preachers, and the gospel are turned into play acting, into show, into theater. People want to be entertained. People are bored listening to service. People want a musical. They want to see clowns in church. And many preachers, many pastors, they follow these desires of their parishioners. They do to please their people. But thank God, there are still God's pastors who were placed there by God, who are diligent to the word of truth. Today, I would like together with you went to the chapter 1 Corinthians. The 1 Corinthians 18 verse to the end of the chapter. the 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 18, and until the end. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made into us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in Lord. These are very strong words, because these are the words of God. And words of God are like a rock. It abolishes all our mistakes, all our errors, because it is the truth. The believers in the Corinthians were people who started believing because of Paul's words. He came to preach, and God called them to the church through his preaching. He left, went to another city, and he started getting information that the believers in Corinth started glorying and started boasting by their knowledge, by their skills, by their gifts in front of each other and God. And time has passed. Paul, who was upset by his behavior, sent them this letter, and he reminds them once again to these believers. He reminds them of the gospel. The gospel is the foundation of the Christian life. It's what God was open to us through the scripture. But these believers in Corinth, they wanted something high. They wanted something large, but they forgot something very simple and very important. They started forgetting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul begins to talk about the fact that wisdom of this civilization is something that people can boast of, something that people are proud of. But the truth of God is opposite to the wisdom of this world. Paul was talking that when he was preaching the scripture, when he was speaking the truth, people did not listen to him. People were looking at it as foolishness. He says, the word about Christ for those who are dying is foolishness. For those who perish is foolishness. People were saying, it is madness, it's not logical, it is not that profound. Our philosophers speak much better. And Paul saw this as a problem. And what kind of problem did he see? Did he have? The gospel that Paul was preaching was not needed to anyone. People did not need it. He came to speak the gospel. And people said, no, we do not need such gospel. We need something new, something interesting, something entertaining, something pleasant. Your gospel is not pleasant to us. And Paul says, the word about Christ for those that perish is foolishness. People who listen to Paul say, this is foolishness. And I want to say that each one of them, of us, saw the confirmation of that. We speak gospel and people do not listen to us. They say, it isn't very interesting. I go to another church. It's more entertaining. There is a good Sunday school there. There is a good musical group there. Everyone is smiling them. Smiling there and here, it is not very interesting. And in the situation, we always feel taken aback because we do not understand God. We preach your gospel and people do not want to hear it. And Paul had the same problem. Paul came across this problem. Do you remember Athens preaching of Paul? He came and saw philosophers, and he started preaching to them. He started preaching, quoting Greek philosophers beautifully and logically. He speaks about Christ, but people started laughing at him. He started saying, we will listen to you some other time. And others were simply laughing, and only a few people started believing. Dionysius and several women. Paul in Athens was preaching to philosophers at their level, in their language, but they did not listen to him. And after Ephesus, he went further to preach. When he came to Corinth, he started saying about his preacher, the second chapter, first verse. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul comes to Corinth, and he leaves the beautiful words behind. He leaves the poetry and philosophy to philosophers. He starts talking simply, trembling. Why? Because he understands that people's salvation depends not on his wisdom, not on his oratory. The salvation depends on God's mercy, on God's grace, on his sovereign grace. Paul understands beautiful words are not necessary. One shouldn't speak grandiloquently. One simply needs to speak the truth. And God will save on his own. Paul understood that his preaching was not interesting to anyone. In verse 22, he says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The previous world could have been divided into two categories, the Greeks and the Jews. And the Jews knew the truth about God. They had the Holy Scripture and the law. The Greeks were philosophers. They came up with a number of different schools of thoughts, all of them logical and beautiful. And when Paul came to speak of Christ, the Jews were saying, how could you prove that that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? By which sign? Jesus Christ did a lot of, created a lot of signs, but was he believed in by many? Pharisees said, we want one, but another sign to prove. They always looked for signs and miracles in order to justify their non-believing. The Greeks were looking for wisdom. They wanted to find beautiful, logical theology. and teachings, but Paul did not preach beautiful learnings. He was preaching the truth of God. And what had happened? He provided the gospel to the Jews. They didn't like it. They wanted a sign. He offered it to Greeks. And they didn't want to listen because they wanted beautiful learnings. And Paul understands that his gospel is not needed by anyone. Many preachers today say that the world is not interested in the gospel, that people do not want to go to the church. Remember, 50 years ago, how did people live in the United States? How many people would come to churches on Sundays? A lot. And now many churches in the United States are getting closed. I was in Arkansas. Brother Paul, Friendship Primitive Baptist Church. And in front of the church, there is a large, beautiful building, and that building used to belong to the Baptist Church. But now it is closed down. It is empty because people stopped coming. Today we have fewer and fewer people who come to church. Fewer and fewer people on Sunday. Who will come to listen to the word of God? People will go to baseball, they will go hunting, fishing. They ruin the holiness of the God's day. And many say, we need to attract people. We need to make the gospel more interesting, more attractive. We need to put a new cover on the gospel, so that people would want it. And today there are musicals and theatrical production, and famous singers are invited so that they would sing the glory of God. They think that that is how they will attract people back to church. They want to attract people. They look like sellers of goods, like vendors. You know, when I go along the open-air market, every seller, every vendor screams about the goodness of his merchandise. He says, buy my milk, my cheese. It's the best. And there are people who stand and do not say anything. They sell their milk without a word. They know they have good milk. And good milk does not need to be advertised. Only bad milk needs to be advertised. We will all buy good milk anyway. And many preachers look like these vendors. Each one screams in the front of his church, we have a good parking. We have a very good kindergarten. We have very good music, jazz, rock, blues, country or classic. Each one tries to attract the people with something else, but the truth does not require advertisement. It requires simply speaking it. Why? Because non-believers will still look for entertainment, for anything, but not for Jesus Christ. Then how should we do? How should we be? What did Paul do? We still continue to preach crucified Christ. And some say, this is foolishness. This is madness. How is it was allowed that Messiah was crucified? God could not have flesh, said the Greeks. But Paul continues to preach the gospel and Christ. He does not change the gospel. He does not adjust it or make it more pleasant or comfortable. Why? Because he wasn't the writer of the gospel. He was but a servant, and it was written by God. And Paul's role was simply to speak it. God gives us rebirth. He is the one who changes our hearts, who gives us quickening and birth from above. But God also calls us to the church. He gathers us so that we listen to the truth. And Paul did not worry that there would be fewer people who would listen to him. He wasn't worried about the fact that fewer people would come to his church. Paul knew that in his church there would be as many people as was predestined by God. He knew that in his church there will be chosen and saved souls, no more, no less. And that's why Paul knew that those who were chosen by God before the creation of the world, those who was atoned for at Calvary, those who was saved, those would be the ones who would be called to church. Paul knew that he was preaching the truth, that his merchandise was a good one and it didn't need to be advertised. He simply spoke and God was calling people to listen. People do not want to listen to gospel, but God, through His sovereign grace, is working in our hearts and opening to us the truth. And what we thought in the past to be foolishness becomes truth to us now. What we didn't want to listen to in the past, now that we are saved by God, we want to listen to, we want to hear these doctrines, the words, because they are sweet to our heart, because our hearts have been changed by God. And Paul was preaching the gospels that was given to him by God, no more, no less. He wasn't adjusting it or correcting it. He was speaking it as it was and is. He says that it is the, for people who were called on, people who were brought to church by his calling, call and cry for them, it is the wisdom of God. It was the truth that was opened to believers. A human being accepts the gospel not because he's very smart, not because he knows a lot. He accepts it because God opens his heart to it for the truth. God gives us rebirth. He quickens us and gives us a new heart and opens it so we could listen the new, the truth. Remember when the Talifa came to, Talifa came to listen to Paul and God opened her heart. God opened her heart so that she could listen to Paul's words. In the past, she was listening to him with her ears, but when God opened her heart, she started listening to his words with her heart, with the ears of her heart, and her life changed. Her life turned around 100% because God saved her. We do not save, not our preaching, not our knowledge. God saves us through His mercy and grace, through the belief, but not from us. It is the God, the gift from above. It is given to us by God. And that is why we need to understand, we live during the time when the world is seeking entertainment. Many believers are seeking entertainment. They want to find entertaining Christianity. But we need to keep these preachers to this world. Leave these preachers here. They speak lies because they want to fill up places in their churches. We can stay in minority, but so that in each one of us, brightly the glory of God would be shining. Let us be few, but we should be God's people who know the truth, who preach the truth, who live the truth. That is important. Christianity is not just beautiful words and doctrines. True Christianity of Jesus Christ is the true life, the life that is happening because of the authentic doctrine. And Paul reminds us about it. He says, look at yourselves. Yes, he chose you when before everything, before creating the world, God chose us and decided to give us salvation. We are believers, but why were we chosen? Because we were really good people. We knew a lot, we read the Bible, we go to church on Sunday. Maybe that's why God chose us. Don't you? Do you think? No. God chose us not because we were better than the rest. He chose us because He wanted to save us. Why? Why did He choose me? I don't know. Only God knows that. But He decided to show His mercy to me. He decided to show His kindness to me. Because I deserve nothing but hell and curse and God's wrath. But God decided not to give me what I earned. He decided to give me mercy and show me kindness. Why? I do not know. God knows that. And that's why Paul says, brethren, look at yourselves. Often in our Christian life, we forget who we were. We forget from where we were called by God. We forget that God opened the truth to us, that we did not arrive at it by through our own intellect. It was given to us by God. We begin to think that we are good people. We begin to think that we are chosen because we are such, because our parents were believers, because we always went to church. That's why we were chosen. No. Every time we need to remind ourselves, who are we? Who am I? I am not better than faithless people who live in this world. I am not better than atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, or Roman Catholics. I am not better than them. Maybe I am worse. But God decided to save me. We need to remind that to ourselves. And Paul says, brothers and sisters, look at yourselves. Are there a lot of you who are wise? Are there a lot of you who are doctors of theology? Are there a lot of you who are PhDs, academicians? Are there a lot of you who are philosophers, respected in this world? No. None of us were president of America yet. None of us were a governor of the state. We are not celebrities, but we are in a better position than the president of the United States, Barack Obama, than Putin or governor of the state. We are much better. God did not give us power in this world, but He opened to us the mystery of His gospel, the mystery in Jesus Christ, and gave us salvation in Him, eternal in the heaven. It is much more precious than any riches of this world. Sometimes we want to mean something in this world, but God tells us, no, my daughter, my son, it is not for you. For you, I prepared heaven, the world, the earth, the riches. It's not for you. For you is eternal heaven. Look at yourself. Who are you? God tells us, look at yourself. And look at God. Sometimes you think the God is small, the people are large. It happens because we really look to the gospel, the scripture. Sometimes we think that a person is great and the God is small. Paul says that God has not chosen the wise ones in order to confound the wise. And sometimes I always ask myself, why people have faith. Sometimes I met with people who have quite an education. My professors at a university, very small people, intellectuals, they know a lot. They are quite erudite. But when you speak gospel to them, they do not listen. They do not understand it. I know one old woman who is 95 years old. Her education is three grades. She barely reads and doesn't know a lot, but she believes in Jesus Christ, and that is much more precious than all the diplomas and knowledge of this world altogether. Why? Because God took that old woman, barely literate, and opens the gospel to her. But a smart person is left behind with his foolishness. God did not choose the wise ones. He does it so to confound the wisdom. He finds something less meaningful in order to confound something meaningful. He, chapter 11, Matthew, I glory to you so that you hid your gospel from the wise ones and opened it to infants. He's talking about Pharisees. He talks about students. Pharisees are smart. They're doctors of theology. They read, they wrote a lot of important theological books. But God saved and hid his truth from them. But the same truth was opened to collector of taxes, to fishermen, rednecks, simple working people. Amazing. This God's grace. It wasn't earned, it cannot be attained. It is simply given and bestowed upon us. And why is that? Because God takes the great of this world and he brings them low. He takes the weak ones of this world and he opens the gospel to them. Tell me, where Julius Caesar is today? Napoleon and Lenin and Stalin. Lincoln and George Washington, where are they? These were huge figures, but they were huge in this world. For God, it was much more important. Those people who had nothing but were rich by their belief in him. Why? So that nobody would glory himself in front of God. 31, chapter 1, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Here is the precious item. Here is the mercy from God, where I could boast not of something that I did, but of something that God did for me. He chose me before creating this world. He chose me although I had nothing good in myself. Nothing kind or noble. Everything that I had was sin and revolt against the God and non-obedience. But he chose me because he placed upon Christ my sin, and he atoned for me at Calvary, and he called on me with his holy sin, with his holy calling. Why did he do that? And how am I better than non-believers? And God will say, by nothing, but I saved you so that you wouldn't glory in yourself. And I will tell you that everything that I have because of God's grace. Everything that I have was given to me by God. But there is something that is of mine. And you know what is it? Only my sins. That is the only thing that belongs to me. I have nothing else that belongs to me. Everything else was given to me by God in his sovereign grace. Sometimes I forget about it. I begin to say, God, thank you that I am better, that you opened your truth to me, that you gave me your scripture, that you allowed me to read truly. And when I begin to think that, God begins to hit me over the head. He begins to say, there is nothing good in your head. You are smart, but your knowledge is incorrect. It will never save you. You need the God's gospel, and reminds me of the scripture, Ephesians 2:8-9, because we, through grace, are quickened through our faith, so that nobody would be glorying in himself. And here God chooses something that the world frowns upon, but these meek ones are glorified in his glory, and that is the greatest God's grace. And there are not that many of us here, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to get together here, that you and I can hear his word, so we could check and recheck our hearts, so that we could ask ourselves the question, do I truly appreciate your grace? Do I not turn into a Pharisee, smug and proud? And we remind once again how great and merciful God is, how great he is in his love, how beautiful he is in his grace. The word about Christ for the ones who are perishing is foolishness, but for us is the might of God. Not the might of humanity, but might of God that is shown through us and in us and given to us because of the death of Christ. Let God bless us so that we would remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we wouldn't forget it, the greatness of God's grace. Yes, we will have problems in this world. Sometimes people would not listen to us. Sometimes they would spit at us. They would laugh at our Christianity and our faith. They will say, you are too primitive. We are primitive. Indeed, we're so primitive, as primitive the gospel is. We want to be as much primitive as we can manage, so we would be a step closer to the truth. The world will not accept us. You will not have a mega church. You will never have that. And thank God for that, because God will always have a small herd, but that small selected herd is given the kingdom, and that is wonderful and is the greatest truth. And when I understand that, when I say in Russia there are 140 millions of people and only 5 churches, 4 primitive Baptists, only 200 people in this multitude understand the biblical truth. Why is that? And God tells me, none of your business. You can speak the truth. You speak the word, and I will save and call the right people. You just follow your mission here. And then I find the energy and the ability to exert every effort. Because if there are people, you will tell them the truth. Recently, 2 months ago, Brother Hurt received a letter from Nizhny Novgorod. He lives 2 different directions from Moscow. He and his wife speak English, and they heard his preaching on the internet, and they were interested and wrote him a letter, and now he started conversations with them. Amazing God's grace. 2 people who are in Nizhny Novgorod without a church, but God finds different roads to bring to people the truth of the gospel, as it happened with me. I was helped by Google Translator. It is miraculous. You and I should preach the gospel. We need to believe in the doctrine of grace and protect them from lies and fake beliefs. The God knows that only the chosen will believe, but we simply need to preach it. We need to make it, we shouldn't make it easier to understand or make it more beautiful. Let it stay as it was written. Let our preachings not be like that of Billy Graham or Rick Owen. Let our preaching be the same as that of Paul, as that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached sometimes very firmly, very simply. People sometimes would leave. They would say, who could take it? Who could listen to it? Others stayed and became his disciples because some were given the truth and others closed their eyes. That was God's right to do that, to close eyes for some, to open hearts for others. God saves us regardless of anything, but through the preaching, God calls us to his herd. He calls us to church, and that's why we need to continue. Let God bless us so that we would always try our utmost to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we would always try to preach the old, the ancient gospel, the one that was left to us. Let God bless us. Let us be joyful when there are few of us, when people do not listen to us, when people do not want to come. We need to remember, those who were chosen will be called, and those who are called will be glorified. And the most interesting, the most wonderful is that we are part of God's family, God's people, not because of our deeds or works, but because of his mercy. Let us be blessed. And now let us pray. Dear Lord, our Father, the Tsar, the King, we thank you for this time and for this opportunity to be here in this assembly, to read your word, to speak about your great mercy and grace. Give our heart the ability to deeper understand your love, to deeper understand your grace, so that we could be even more obedient to you, so that our hearts would be filled with gratefulness to you, so that we wouldn't boast in front of you of anything, because we have nothing to boast of. We could only glory in the Jesus of Christ. He is our priest. He is our truth. God, bless us so that forever we would keep your word, so that we would love your truth, so that we would speak your true word and gospel. The world does not want to listen, does not want to accept it. But God, give us firmness to be strong in our mission, because we are your people. And there are people who are given ability to listen, to whom you call, and whom you gather, and whom you choose. Bless us, and let us live for your glory. We ask for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.